You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we're live. Welcome, everybody, to the Lakers Outsiders / Locked On Lakers live edition podcast. It was an absolutely insane night of LA sports. So here I am, Anthony Irwin, to talk you through that. We are going to take questions. We're just going to celebrate together. I have my celebratory scotch right here in front of me. So to those who are enjoying and partaking, salute. Off the top of my head, on a night, you know, taking nights in which the Lakers or whatever LA team that you might be thinking about have won actual championships, I can't think of very many other nights like this tonight. I mean, Lakers, Pistons is really not much to freak out about, historically speaking. I mean, there were a few back and forth title competitions between the two teams, but really that was about it. So it's not really a matter of a rivalry between those two organizations. It's really more has to do with the progress that the Lakers are making. And on that note, before I went live here tonight, I took a few questions from Twitter, and the first question that I saw, if I can find it, I swear I had it a second ago. It was a good one. If I find your at here in a second, I will. Oh, here we go. At List10 hashtag Big Baller Season asks, does this current Lakers team remind you of the 10-10 Lakers? I would presume from last year. This team is better. Talent-wise, that team last year did not have a player of Brook Lopez's talent level. They didn't have a player of Kentavious Caldwell-Pope's talent level. Brandon Ingram was a much lesser player at that point in the season than he currently is right now, and we're going to talk about him here in a second. D'Angelo Russell was really good, but him and Lonzo Ball are just very different players, and I think Lonzo Ball's role, so long as the Lakers kind of minimize this too big to fail Lonzo Ball role, Lonzo Ball's role lends itself a little bit more to success so long as the ball is out of his hands as much as they possibly can have it, because this isn't something to go against Lonzo. He played really well, arguably the best game of a season despite the lower numbers than he put up against Phoenix. He was a lot more efficient tonight. But Lonzo, where I think the Lakers kind of get themselves into trouble is when he has the ball, everybody just kind of stops, right? Everybody just kind of, all right, we got to wait for Lonzo to put us in a situation, in a position to succeed, and he needs to be the one who gets the assist. I need to be one pass away so as to be able to be the beneficiary of said assist. So you have a situation where everybody just kind of like, all right, wait for Lonzo, and then the ball just kind of stops, even though it kind of runs in contrary to what Lonzo Ball is, which is a creator. He is a passer first and foremost, and I'm not going to say he is selfishly unselfish. I'm not going to do the Rajon Rondo kind of thing with Lonzo Ball, but I do think the Lakers need to learn to play with him. The coaching staff needs to learn to coach him so as to put the entire roster in better places to succeed more often. And tonight against, or for those of you who will be listening tomorrow night, last night, the Detroit Pistons were kind of flummoxed by the Lakers when they played smart and they played within themselves and they played within the Lonzo Ball effect and let that have its natural effect versus trying to force something that may not necessarily be there quite yet. On that note, I want to remind everybody that, as always, you can follow. This is I host a podcast. It is the Locked On Lakers podcast. You can find that show on Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Lakers Nation, obviously here on Lakers Outsiders. I usually have a co-host, Harrison Fagan, but he is now on his third personal day in a row. Don't tell anybody here, but I think he's kind of soft. Don't say it. I didn't say it to anybody else. Just kind of know. It's kind of weird that he hasn't been here in like a week. Harrison's going to love hearing that. I will get to the next question here. Oh, but I guess to finally put an answer on that, I think these Lakers, do I think because they're a better team, they'll jump out to a better than a 10-10 start? Not necessarily, because you never quite know how early NBA seasons go. You always have a bunch of fun with small sample sizes. So you don't quite, I'm not going to say that if these Lakers aren't 10-10, that it's any kind of disappointment. I will say that if they are 10-10, I'll trust it a lot more than I trusted last year's 10-10. And last year, a lot of people got really angry at me because I was kind of, you know, let's pump the brakes. Let's not talk about playoffs. Let's see how this all transpires. This year, I'm still not going to go there necessarily with playoffs, but I think I'll trust that success a little bit more than I did last season. All right, let's get to the next question here on Twitter. And as always, if you guys have Twitter here on Facebook, for those of you who are tuning in, let me know. Fire away. It can be about anything. It can be about Lakers and Dodgers. It can be about just Dodgers. It can be about anything. Halloween, whatever you want to talk about, let's talk about it. I am perfectly happy ranking Halloween candies because, as you can tell by like the five chins that I have going on right now, I love my Halloween candy. Fantasy basketball fans, listen up. If you love fantasy basketball, then you need to try our new favorite app, Draft. It's daily fantasy basketball, but not like the other guys. On Draft, you play real-life snake drafts with other people, just like in your season-long league. Here's how it works. It's a draft that lasts for just one night and there's no management. Just set it up and forget it. Once you're done drafting, that's it. No trades, no waiver wire. Draft even takes care of last-minute injuries for you. Draft starts every couple of minutes, so you can join one right now. And the best part, play for cold hard cash. Draft starts from just $1, so there's a draft for everyone. No salary caps, playing real-life snake drafts, just like you play with your friends in season-long leagues. Come and join us on Draft today. Download the app at any time. Just search Draft in your app store and join in a game on minutes. Or play right from your computer on draft.com. Whatever you want. For a limited time only, all new players get a free entry into a draft when you make your first deposit. But you have to use our promo code LOLakers. That's right. Play a real money game for free just for using the promo code LOLakers on your first deposit on Draft. Harrison is setting up a draft for tomorrow. We do this every Wednesday. It's Draft Wednesday across the network. He is at Harrison Fagan on there, just spelled out. Harrison Fagan. Harrison, just like Harrison Ford, Fagan, F-A-I-G-E-N. Find him on there. Follow him on there. We'll all do a draft together. And at the end of the day, we can laugh at Harrison. Again, that's draft.com if you're not using the app. Promo code LOLakers. I can't wait to play with you guys. Let's go with the next question here on Twitter. I would imagine this tweet was sent specifically with my Twitter habits in mind, but your at's really long, but Broncos and Lakers asks, are the Lake Show, hashtag Lake Show, playing with more heart to you? I like what I've seen from Josh Hart. He makes it, here's what I think rookies, especially drafted high, tend to get themselves and organizations tend to get themselves in trouble with is they expect these guys to be any kind of impact players whatsoever. And the guys who kind of step in and figure out what their role might be, I just saw a little bit ago somebody screaming about Kuzma. I promise I'll talk about him in a second, but But Josh Hart this year is a perfect example of a rookie who figured out what he has to do to be in any kind of impact player on in this roster. And on a roster so starved for any kind of defensive ability, I mean, Eric Pincus the other day was defending Corey Brewer as a defender to me. And it's a matter more, not necessarily about what Brewer actually brings defensively. It's about the level of energy that he offers on that side of the ball. But really, it's KCP, sometimes Brandon Ingram, but he's a second-year player, so you're not really going to rely on him to be a stalwart defensive player. So those are really the only two guys on the perimeter who you're saying, all right, we'll see what those guys can offer. And Josh Hart kind of realized that, and he just goes out there and he bodies up whoever he's playing. If he has a spot to hit offensively, he goes after it. But really, he understands that if he's going to carve out any kind of niche for himself on this Los Angeles Lakers team, it's going to be on that side of the ball. So kudos to Hart for figuring that out. I love watching him play on that side of the ball. And if he's already doing that as a rookie so far, then I think you can only go up. Especially on that side of the ball, it's kind of hard to be inconsistent when that's all you're really focused on. So again, Hart deserves a ton of credit for what he's offered on that side of the ball. And I think I'm not going to go so far as to say that there's any kind of like Josh Hart effect on the defense. Just like I always kind of throw up in my mouth a little bit anytime people start talking about the Lonzo Ball effect on the offense. I will say that the Lakers this season are competing in ways, and they competed really well early on last season, but they're competing in ways that the fan base can get behind game in, game out. And that's something to kind of go back to my Dodgers who are in a game seven. That's something that the Los Angeles Dodgers fan base really got behind. They realized and they recognized that at any point in any game, the Dodgers are always kind of sort of in it. And look, I was singing my woes before game six. For those of you who are listening on the podcast last night, for those of you who are listening and watching right now live, I was singing my woes about the Dodgers heading into game six. But kudos to those guys, too. They competed. They took down Justin Verlander, who was absolutely lights out for much of today. They just competed, they picked their spots, and they got after it. And for the Lakers, I think that's really what it's going to take for them to have any kind of consistent success, because it's tough in this, especially in this Western Conference, which is just freaking bananas, but it's tough to night in, night out, get after it defensively. And Josh Hart, KCP, Brandon Ingram in some spots, Julius Randle deserves a ton of credit for what he's doing defensively. Brook Lopez is filling his role, and Andrew Bogut to a lesser extent of being rim protectors. These guys are just competing, and for a team that probably isn't going to make the playoffs and probably isn't going to be in the playoff picture for particularly long, relatively speaking, that's all you can really hope for. So yeah, they're a fun team to get after. While I'm kind of sort of on it, Arthur Moritz, friend of Locked On or Lakers Outsiders Forever, says, I don't follow baseball, but should I watch Game 7? Yes. Yes. The answer to any Game 7 situation in a national or world championship situation is always yes. You watch the one game national championship. It's like a Super Bowl. You tune in for the Super Bowl. You always tune in for that stuff. Tomorrow's going to be freaking bananas between two teams that, unfortunately, and I hate this cliche, but I'm about to use it, unfortunately, somebody has to lose this series. This is the best World Series of my lifetime, probably ever, to be completely honest. All right, let's go with... Let's see if I have any more questions here on Twitter. Timeline's going kind of nuts because I made fun of Josh Reddick. But, I mean, really, if there's a reason for anybody to go kind of viral making fun of Josh Reddick is as good a reason as anything, right? So I will talk then about Kyle Kuzma, since a second ago somebody talked about him. I think that was, yeah. Oh, Arthur again said Kuzma. Kuzmania is taking over, man. He 4-for-4 for 3-point from 3-point tonight. He, again, just like Josh Hart, recognizes what it's going to take to get consistent minutes out of this team and from this team, which is going to be tough because you have Larry Nance Jr., who's starting ahead of him. And, you know, people have their thoughts on that. You have Julius Randle, who is arguably the most talented of their power forwards. And you have Kuzma now, who is a rookie, albeit an older one. But you have Kuzma in there trying to find any kind of minutes for himself. And he's doing so in a way that he has figured out is the best way to do it. And again, just like with Josh Hart, a second ago, Josh Hart recognized, hey, there's not much defense around me. Kyle Kuzma looked around and said, well, there's Corey Brewer playing minutes at the three. There's, you know, Brandon Ingram didn't shoot the ball particularly well last year. Julius Randle, Larry Nance Jr. Won't even shoot. Julius Randle isn't a very good shooter. How can I get myself and how can I squeeze out some minutes for myself? Hey, I'm really good at shooting the ball from deep. And he showed that in college. Not necessarily his three-point range isn't anything to write home about, but we did see, though, while he was at Utah, that when he took a couple steps back and was shooting from NBA range, that he was having some success there, and he's just kind of carried that over. He carried it over in summer league. He carried it over in preseason. He kind of stumbled a little bit early on this season, but tonight he picked it back up. And look, it's just fun to watch a shooter get hot. The Lakers haven't really had that since pre-Achilles tear Kobe. I guess Lou Williams and Nick Young would get really hot. So I take back what I just said. But Kuzma, just for a rookie, just goes out there and scores in really easy ways. And it's really fun to watch an efficient scorer out there on a team that doesn't necessarily have very many efficient scorers. Dylan Heiser asked a little bit ago, how long can the Lakers be this solid defensively? I don't think they'll be this solid for very long. I believe they're right at, if not above average, defensively. Jody Meeks played after whoever's running Facebook from Lakers Outsiders. Jody Meeks played before Nick Young and before Lou Williams. So you're fired, whoever is watching that or whoever is typing that out. But the Lakers, I don't think they're going to be this good defensively for very long because they are probably over-succeeding. And with a lot of the teams that they're playing, there's a lot of offensive struggles as teams figure out how to play together and understand their rhythm. Defense, you know, you do get some defensive rhythm as the year goes along, but generally speaking, offenses get a little bit better because guys just figure things out on that side of the ball, and it's harder to play defense against good offense than it is to play offense against good defense. So what you're going to start seeing is some of the shots, some of the open shots that the Lakers are giving up, and I don't have the numbers off the top of my head, but some of the open shots that the Lakers are giving up are going to start falling. Some of the offenses are going to start moving a little bit quicker. So rotations are going to be harder to figure out on the move. The Lakers themselves are going to start getting tired because it's real. I mean, we saw it last year. The Lakers started out 10-10 and they were playing out of their minds in terms of effort and activity throughout those first 20 games. And then they calmed down. Injuries played a part in that. But they calmed down a little bit because it's just really hard to play 82 games balls to the wall like that, as you have to if you're going to be a really good defensive team. And frankly, they're starting a rookie at point guard. Rookies are always abysmal on defense. KCP is a good NBA defender. Brandon Ingram is going to be in and out this year on that side of the ball because he's only a sophomore and he's a really young one at that. Larry Nance Jr. is not where you would like to see him at this stage in his career on that side of the ball, or really, period. Julius Randle has gotten better, but we'll see how long that carries over. And we'll also see if, you know, early on in the year, he was kind of pouting a little bit. If he continues to work this hard and isn't rewarded with more minutes, how will he handle that situation? And then Brook Lopez is just going to be Brook Lopez. So I think the Lakers kind of, if the Lakers finish, if they get out of the bottom five, out of the bottom seven defensively this year, I'll say it was a success in terms of team growth on that side of the ball. Malik Cotton asks, is Kyle Kuzma already the greatest player of all time? If not, then at one point in the season, will he be the GOAT? He was the best player in the history of basketball when he was born. I mean, he came out of the womb and immediately just started grabbing stuff off of the table that he was on, the bed that he was born on, and just started shooting into trash cans. And obviously saying Kobe, right? So he just, Kobe, doctor's gloves over there. Kobe, scalpel into wherever scalpels go. Kobe, nurse's robes for whatever reason. He was just yelling Kobe and firing away. And it's carried over into his college career. It carried over into summer league. It carried over into preseason. It's going to carry over all the way into when he is finally inducted into the NBA's Hall of Fame. I can't wait for that. His NBA Hall of Fame acceptance speech is probably just going to be Kobe, 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 Kobe. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for your time here. All right, let's see if I have any more questions here on Twitter before I sign out. This has been a lot of fun. Again, I'm Anthony Irwin. You can find the podcast on Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Lakers Nation, obviously here on Lakers Outsiders. I don't see any more questions. I want to end on one parting note here. The one thing that I don't think is getting enough credit in this early season, and I think part of this is because the Lakers are so infatuated with anytime Lonzo like breathes, it has to be a tweet, or anytime somebody breathes successfully, Lonzo has to get credit for that person not suffocating. Brandon Ingram is playing really good basketball. Really good basketball. And once again tonight, he was probably the best player on the court. You knew immediately when he was on and when he was off the court. And my hope is that the Lakers are going to start recognizing this and giving him a little bit more credit, because we saw this trend already. We saw when obviously Randall missed his entire rookie year pretty much, but we saw what happened when he had his rookie year taken away by the sideshow that was Kobe Bryant's farewell tour and D'Angelo Russell's rookie season. And then Russell has a pretty good rookie season, and his second year is sideswiped by the fact that Brandon Ingram is this new shiny rookie. And now in Ingram's second year, as he's improved his play, we have this extremely big baller shiny rookie that the Lakers are intent on giving as much credit whenever they can possibly give him. And again, that's not a great way to groom young players. You need to give credit where credit is due. And when Ingram is going out and putting up the 14 to 15 points per game that Magic Johnson said he was expecting from his second year wing, you need to praise the kid. The Lakers need to do more to put this guy in the forefront of everything that's going on, because he probably, as it stands right now, still has the highest upside given the position he plays. So, Brandon, kudos on a really good start to your season. Let's hope it continues to go on and carry on moving forward. Lakers, give credit to the kid, because it's hard enough to be a young player in the NBA. It gets even harder when you feel like it doesn't matter what you do, you're probably not going to get credit, because Magic Johnson wants his bright, shiny rookie to be at the forefront of every conversation that has anything to do with the organization. That'll do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers / Lakers Outsiders live podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. Go Dodgers. They play in a game 7 by the time everybody is listening to this on iTunes and all of those other platforms. We will all be freaking out collectively. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Thank you for your questions. Let's do this again sometime. And fire away any questions that you could possibly have. I am at Anthony Irwin LA on Twitter, LakersLockedOn@gmail.com. Hit us up in the comment section of Lakers Outsiders. I'm Anthony Irwin. Have a good one, everybody.